1.
The crowd was told that blue and gold balloons would appear in front of the winner.
Oh my gosh, did she win? And hers were white, and then I look and mine were gold and blue, and I instantly just basically dropped to the ground and started crying. I realized that it wasn't for me anymore, and I was doing this for so many other people all around, not just the country, or I mean, not just the county, and not just the state, but the nation and possibly even the world. And so I am so proud to win this, not just for me, but for everyone out there.
All right. And of course, that is the transgender homecoming queen. Her name is Cassidy Lynn Campbell from Marina High School in Huntington Beach, California, Ocean County. Ocean County, which, excuse me, where's my brain? Orange County. Orange County, which, is, of course, as you may know, in California is a rather conservative area.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. How you doing? It is the Rebecca Juro Show. And, yeah, I mean, we started off with that. Cassidy has gotten some backlash. We'll talk about this a little more later on in the show. But I wanted to start off tonight with something that really, well, I mean, you know, I can talk about it anyway. But the truth is, this really pissed me off. And I'll tell you why it pissed me off. Now, I live in New Jersey, generally considered to be a deep blue state. We voted for Obama by a wide margin. Yeah, I know, Chris Christie. I know. But you know, I mean, look at this. He's one of the most centrist Republicans out there. I mean, he really is, actually. And of course, he made nice with Obama during Sandy, during the hurricane. So, and don't forget, we've had several Republican governors in this state. Not a lot of Republicans as senators. We've had a couple here and there, but not many recently. But generally speaking, this is a pretty blue state. Our legislature is heavily Democratic, has been for a long time. So you think, well, you know, certain things you don't have to worry about here. Well, not so much. Unfortunately, we have a media that's still living somewhere back in the middle of the 20th century. In New Brunswick, New Jersey, which is about 5 miles, not even. I could probably walk. It's the next town north of here, New Brunswick. It's the home of Rutgers University. It's as close to, they call it the city of New Brunswick. I don't know if it qualifies as a city. I guess in the barest sense of the term, you can call it a city. More or less, it's a big township with a couple of big buildings there. J&J has its headquarters there, Johnson & Johnson. A few other things. Like I say, of course, there's Rutgers University, which covers a lot of territory. Mm-hmm. Generally, a pretty liberal area, generally speaking. And then you hear about something like this. And the way that this is, this is a trans woman, a transsexual woman, a transgender woman. I don't know if she's had surgery or any procedures or anything, but that's not really relevant to what we're talking about here. But she was murdered, basically, in a boarding house in New Brunswick. Now, New Brunswick has a big downtown and some nice shops on the main drag. Also has a very low-income area. A lot of mostly middle-class people that live there. But it's got some, well, low-income projects, that kind of thing. The place where this murder took place was just a couple of blocks off of from where the park, where when I was a teenager, we used to go to buy pot. Seriously. So it's one of those kind of areas. Okay. Now, this woman, her name was Erica Morgan, was murdered by one of her fellow, she lived in a boarding house in New Brunswick, and one of her roommates, or fellow tenants, I guess, I don't know, however you want to call that, I don't know if they shared a room or how that's set up, but one of the other people that lived in this boarding house murdered her. Well, that's horrible and horrific just in itself, obviously. But what even made it worse, what even compounded this, was how our local media reported it. Now, first, I want to start with, there was a report by the Newark Star-Ledger. Newark Star-Ledger is New Jersey's largest and probably most well-read paper in the state. So, the Newark Star-Ledger reported it this way. Title of the story: New Brunswick man charged with stabbing man to death in city boarding house. A New Brunswick man is charged with fatally stabbing another man in the city boarding house where they both lived. A New Brunswick man was arrested today and charged with fatally stabbing a man at this boarding house where they both lived. Devontae Scott, 21, was charged with murder, unlawful possession of a weapon, and possession of a weapon for unlawful purpose in the death of Tuesday of, well, this is the person's legal name. I'm quoting here, so I'm going to use it. Evan Morgan, Middlesex County Acting Prosecutor Andrew C. Carey said. Carey said the investigation began when police were called to the boarding house on Baldwin Street in New Brunswick at 8:17 p.m. Tuesday. He said officers arrived to find the victim injured. Morgan was rushed to Robert Wood Johnson Hospital, which is one of the two big hospitals in New Brunswick, where he was pronounced dead at 9 p.m. Carey said an investigation by Detective Kenneth however you pronounce that, of the New Brunswick Police Department and County Investigator Jose Rodriguez determined that Morgan was stabbed. Results of an autopsy by County Medical Examiner's Office were not immediately available. Police arrested Scott at 9:45 a.m. today at an undisclosed location. Why? What is the secret here? I don't understand that, but whatever. He was taken to Middlesex County Jail, where he's being held in lieu of $1 million bail. Anyone with information, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's the one from the big newspaper of New Jersey, the Newark Star-Ledger. Okay, now there was another one, another story that came from New Brunswick Patch, which is one of these, I think it's sponsored by the Huffington Post, but I'm not sure. But what it is there's all these little local websites, you know, they tell what's going on in your town. Okay, this was not better. Same kind of article, same basic facts, same misgendering, same use of the person's born name, given name, as opposed to the name that they were going by. Now, Monica Roberts, who we've had on the show, of course, actually was the one who dug up what her name was and some other salient facts. Now, let's see. Monica, let me find her article. Where did I put that? I know it's here somewhere. Oh, there it is. Okay. So her name was Erica Morgan. She was 26 years old. Let's see. Basically, it's the same, except Monica, at least, found the woman's name. And you know, here's the thing. Okay, this was not hard to find. I mean, it's not like a small effort wouldn't have turned up the fact that she was a trans woman and that, you know, she went by this name. I mean, Monica did it, okay? Monica lives in Houston. So you're telling me that a trans woman who lives in Houston could find out and do a better job reporting this story than a local reporter who has access to the prosecutor's office? Are you shitting me? I mean, this is just very frustrating. Okay, and I'll tell you something else. I personally got in touch with this reporter. Her name is Susan Epstein, who is the reporter for the Star-Ledger. And basically what I said to her, I'll read a little bit of what I wrote. I wrote her an email this morning. And I said, "Dear Miss Epstein," I included a link to the story, of course. I said, "Dear Ms. Epstein, perhaps you simply reported what was in the police report without doing any investigative reporting on the story yourself, but I hope that by now you realize that the New Brunswick murder victim you reported on yesterday was a transgender woman." AP, Associated Press, but I put AP because, of course, reporters know what the AP stands for. "Style book guidelines require referring to a transgender person by their presented gender, not by biology or by the obviously incorrect assumptions of local police. The proper pronouns to be used in such a case are she and her, an acknowledgement that she is a woman, not a man. I hope you will issue a correction that respects both the AP guidelines and Erica Morgan's presented gender identity." Now, I'm not going to say, because it's private communication, I don't feel it's appropriate to do so. She did respond. Basically what she told me was, and I'm paraphrasing here because I'm not going to repeat her exact words on the air. That's not appropriate. But basically what she told me was, well, we were going by what the prosecutor's office says. I responded and I said, well, understood, but then in the interest of accuracy, certainly a public correction is in order, no? With all due respect, it took me about 5 minutes online to get all the facts for presenting the story on my show tonight. Surely, with all the resources of the Star Ledger at your disposal, you could have done the same. Now, she responded again. She said that her paper, I guess she was referring to, doesn't write corrections unless we have made a mistake. And also she told me that the defendant was in court today and more information was released and she will be doing another story in which she will mention that she was transgender. I responded. I said, I believe that misgendering a transgender murder victim is unquestionably a mistake, one that should be publicly corrected. I am glad to hear that you will be doing another story that will present Ms. Morgan accurately. I will report this to my listeners tonight, which I am doing right now. Okay? So, we can expect another story from Susan Epstein sometime in the immediate future that will define Erica Morgan accurately as a trans woman. But, you know, I mean, is it just me? Or is it I shouldn't have to go through, we shouldn't have to write reporters to say, hey, you know, do your fucking job. I mean, you just go by what the police tell you? Is that quality journalism? I'm sorry. You don't bother to investigate? You don't bother to take 5 minutes, maybe talk to a family member? Maybe talk to somebody who else was in that boarding house. Maybe spend 5 minutes on the Google machine. You know, like I did. Okay? That's how long it took me sitting here in my studio to find out that Erica Morgan was a trans woman. Are you telling me that a reporter who has all the resources of the largest newspaper in the state of New Jersey can't track down the same information that I did in 5 minutes? Seriously? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, these are the people that we are trust to report the news, that we take their word as a matter of course. I mean, and people wonder why nobody trusts our media anymore. It's because of shoddy journalism like this. I mean, I'm sorry, but literally 5 minutes worth of effort would have turned up this information. Literally 5 minutes. Okay? Because Erica Morgan, first of all, Erica Morgan's name is spelled in a rather, frankly, unique way. I've never seen it spelled this way before. It's spelled E-Y-R-I-C-K-A. Now, that's not a common spelling of Erica. I put that into Google and Bing. I get everything that I needed popped right up. 2 minutes. I had everything I needed. I had Monica Roberts' story, which, by the way, Look her up on Transgrio. Check out her story on this. It's excellent. Okay? I mean, I had everything that I needed by running these things through the two major search engines in less than 5 minutes. And you're telling me that somebody who is a staff writer for the Star Ledger can't do the same? Are you serious? Are you really that lazy a journalist? I mean, I'm sorry, but this is just not... You know, I mean, I don't know this woman. I'm not bashing this woman, Susan Epstein, because I mean, I don't know her. I've never read an article that I'm aware of. I may have read her before. If I have, I'm not aware of it. I'm not bashing her for the sake of bashing her. I'm not bashing her because I think that she did something intentionally prejudiced. Or I mean, I'm not. I that's not what I believe happened here. But you know what? I'm sorry. When you're a journalist, you're supposed to get the facts before you publish, not after. Who, what, where, when, why? Every Journalism 101 student knows the five W's. Who? Well, you didn't get that one right. You didn't even bother publishing a name. So you didn't get the who. And, of course, you misgendered her, so that's a double strike on the who. The what? Well, you screwed that one up, too, because, of course, without knowing who she was, you can't accurately define this, which is what I believe it is, and I don't know because I don't know the details, so I'm not going to go make a claim, but it seems extremely likely that this was an anti-transgender hate crime. But, of course, you wouldn't know that because... this person didn't bother to dig deeply enough to discover that it was a transgender person in the first place. So how would you know? So you screwed up on the who, you screwed up on the what. Well, I guess the where, you got that one. Wasn't too tough. When? Yeah, that was in the report, so I guess you get that one. And the why. The why. Okay? That's the one where you failed completely. Because if you don't define the person accurately, how can you define the motive? I'm sorry, but that's bad journalism in my book. It just is. It's substandard journalism. It's called not making the effort. And you know what? I think if you work in this business, if you take a paycheck for doing this kind of work, I think you owe your readers that much. That you take the time to verify your facts. That you don't just go with, you know, a press release or, you know, just accept whatever some person in power tells you without question or comment. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I have too much of a romantic version of journalism. Maybe I've watched too many episodes of The Newsroom or one of these other shows, you know, or Lou Grant or something, okay? Or, you know, one of these other journalism shows, okay? But correct me if I'm wrong. But isn't that what good journalism is? That you're the one that you challenge those in authority, you don't just capitulate, you don't just accept what these people say without question, that you're the one who's supposed to be asking the questions to say, I want to report this. I mean, this was, I don't see the there was any real effort made here. And as a result, the story was substandard, it was inaccurate, it was offensive, and it was wrong. I mean, aren't the readers of the Star Ledger entitled to better than that? And if they don't get it, well, why would I bother to read the Star Ledger anyway when I can get better information, more accurate information, more complete information, more timely information from a website? Why am I going to shell out for your newspaper when it becomes obvious that if I want the real story, I've got to go online. I've got to read Monica Roberts. I've got to read Lexi Kahns, who I believe, is the first person to have reported this, who broke the story. Now, Lexi Cons, who's Courtney O'Donnell in her secret identity, reported this. I saw this early this morning, and then it hit. Like I said, maybe I'm being a little overly romantic about this, you know. But, you know, I think that there's an obligation there. I think there's an obligation. I think that when you take this job, you have an obligation to say, I'm going to give you the best information I can get. Because that's what the job of a journalist is providing you with the information that you need. Who, what, where, when, why? Okay? I mean, am I off here? Am I crazy? Am I expecting too much for these people? I don't know. If you've got a thought, it's 928-277-4921. Give us a call. We got a break coming up, and you know, maybe we'll if somebody wants to call in and talk about this, we can take a couple of calls right after this. Once again, it's 928-277-4921. The lovely Mr. Mike will be taking your call.
Hello.
And yes, and in the meantime, we are going to do a quick break. It is Venus de Mars and All the Pretty Horses. This one's called Society's Cure, and we'll be back with something from our good buddy Obama.
This page, he is simply holding green eggs and ham on a fork, preparing to bite them. Say, I like green eggs and ham. I do.
This is not common sense.
To shut down the government because they can't defund Obamacare. That's sickening.
You know, these things are hurting the American people.
We're all losing out. The Republicans are losing out. All of the citizens are losing out.
I don't get it.
Change it to a gown, and the doctor will see you soon.
Scoot on down and try to make yourself comfortable.
Okay, let's have a look.
The Republicans in Congress are poisoning Obamacare, then trying to claim it's sick. That's exactly what's been happening. I mean, think about it. These are billionaires several times over. You know they've got good health care. But they are actually spending money on television trying to convince young people that if you've got the choice between getting affordable health care or going without health care, you should choose not having any health care. Now, do you think if you get sick or you get hurt and you get stuck with a massive bill, these same folks, they're going to help you out? Or are they going to pay for your health care?
Very good.
Oh, my goodness.
Very good, Barack.
Well, he's got a point. He's got a point. But, you know, we should point out here, because this is the show it is, and because I am who I am, there are certain holes in the Affordable Care Act.
Well, tell me about that.
That, for example,
uh-oh,
transgender care, hormones, surgery, that kind of thing, not covered. So, I mean, now, bear in mind, there are a lot of good things about Obamacare that will positively affect trans people because we're people, because we're American citizens, because they affect everyone.
Now, I have a question. Could a provider prescribe hormones as a necessary procedure, necessary care, and if not, why not? Because there's no exclusion as to the type of treatment that a person receives.
Well, no. There's no exclusion to the type of treatment, but what there is an exclusion. In many cases, I've had insurance like this from businesses that I've worked for in the past that has specific exclusions for transgender care. In other words,
really?
That you can have your doctor prescribe you hormones.
And so
company isn't going to cover it.
A plan that would be offered through the insurance exchange could easily prevent you from getting the proper care. And you wouldn't necessarily know that a plan would exclude that unless you really dug into it.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. I mean, they have to make it clear in their plan description. They have these large descriptions. When you sign up for insurance, they send you or they publish online or whatever.
As of October 1st, they'll have these online.
Right, absolutely. The exchanges open on October 1st, but here's the thing, okay? They have to, by law, tell you, here's what's covered, here's what isn't. In most cases, when I have had this kind of coverage through employers and things like that, they specifically say that nothing related to transgender care. So, now, some companies have interpreted this as, we don't pay for hormones, we don't pay for surgery, we don't pay for psychological counseling in relation to blah, 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 blah.
And there's nothing in the law that prevents them from doing that. And I understand
the
point.
Exactly my point. That is still perfectly legal.
Yeah.
However, you can still go out and go to your doctor and have them prescribe it, but you have to pay for it on your own. And so there's you know, as far as that goes, as far as actually getting the care that you need, you can also encounter other problems, because I've heard stories now. I don't know how much of this is made illegal. I'm not an expert on Obamacare. So, you know, if somebody who's better familiar with this and wants to straighten me out, feel free, 928-277-4921. Mm-hmm. Okay, I am not an expert on Obamacare, but I do know that in the past, insurance companies have used that transgender exclusion as a way to deny care for other things. For example,
as pre-existing, or just some way of twisting the situation, right? I don't understand how
twisting
they could do
the situation in order to avoid paying for things. For example, they'll turn around one day and say, "Well, we're not providing a trans woman with prostate exam because we think that this is a woman," or a trans man with a pap smear, or, you know, I'm making this stuff up, but not, I'm not making the situation up, I'm making up the examples, but things that are, for example, specific to one biological gender.
Got it.
They use that as an excuse and say, well, you know, we don't relate to transgender care. One time, I heard of a particularly ridiculous story where a trans woman, who was playing a softball game, and broke her ankle, or something like that, broke a bone. I don't know if it was an ankle, but it broke a bone. And they denied her coverage because she was playing on an LGBT team. And they said, well, that's transgender coverage.
Whoa.
Yeah, my God. Stuff like that. I mean, you have to remember that these companies are not in the business of providing you health care. They are in the business of maximizing profits.
Well, some things are improving. The pre-existing thing, you know, I am like a little poster child for pre-existing. I've had some things in my medical history that have kept me entirely from getting medical insurance. I did qualify for Medicaid for a while as a low-income person, and then my income situation changed, and I got thrown off of Medicaid in Arizona, which is called Access. And then I ended up with a whole bunch of medical bills for what happened to me last year, which I'm still dealing with. And so, folks, I'm saying, you know, if you have an opportunity to get on the Medicaid program or to go through the exchanges and you don't have insurance right now, well, it's really, you got to do it as of October 1st. Just log on to healthcare.gov. It's healthcare.gov, and they'll direct you to your state resources. And if you're going to be on the insurance exchange, they'll give you the link for that and give you appropriate information for that. And if you're qualified and your state is doing the Medicaid extension, which I think I may qualify for this time around, I'm certainly going to give it a try. For goodness sake, do it, because the alternative, if you get sick, you're stuck with the bills, and it could be even worse than that if you get no insurance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally encourage people. This is in no way a discouragement. I mean, you absolutely, people should get on this. If you don't have insurance now and this makes it affordable for you, I say go for it, because you should have insurance.
Yes.
I mean, I say this as somebody who doesn't have insurance. I'm going to be investigating this myself.
And New Jersey may help you out, because Christy actually signed the Medicaid extension, at least partially, into law. I think it's got a time cap on it. It's not going to be forever, but at least for 2014, you could easily qualify, from what I'm seeing online here. So it looks good.
I'm going to be checking that out. But again, like I said, there's still, if you want surgery, if you want hormones, you're still on your own. You know, they say, oh, well, we're preventing discrimination, you know, against anybody in this new law, which is not entirely true. It's just not. I mean, don't get me wrong. Does it lessen discrimination? Sure. Does it prevent all discrimination? No. And in fact, it codifies some discrimination into law, such as bans on proper transgender coverage. And one thing that bothers me about this is not that people are saying, you know, and as I just said a minute ago, that people should sign up for this, that they should take advantage of it. Absolutely, people should. And I'm not at all trying to counter that argument. But it's not full coverage. And what my argument is, you know, we don't see anybody standing up and talking about this. You know, I'll tell you, I tried, unfortunately, I guess she wasn't available or something. I haven't heard back from them yet. I wanted to have Mara Kiesling on tonight to talk about this, because she's probably the best well-versed person that I know personally, who understands what the coverage is and all that, you know. And of course, she's a good friend of the show and she comes on all the time. So I wanted to get her take on this. My understanding is that NCTE is supporting the bill as written. And that's troubling to me. Why aren't you guys fighting for full coverage instead of settling for this yet another low bar? Oh, well, you know, we're going to just step over the trans people and make sure everybody else is protected, but we're going to ignore these people. Why isn't NCTE speaking out? Why isn't our media covering this? Why does it seem like I'm the only person, and I hate to sound like this because I really don't want to, but the truth is, it seems like I'm the only one who's bothering to mention that, you know what, Obamacare is not an end-all, be-all. Yes, is it an advantage? Is it better than what the situation is now? You bet. But is this full coverage for transgender people? Fuck no. If anything, it makes it worse, because it pretty much guarantees that we're never going to see this. Because if they can now, insurance companies can turn around and deny coverage to trans people and say, well, you know, it's not even in the Affordable Care Act. Why should we offer it? So this, not only does this not cover us, but I would argue that it makes things worse for us in the long run in terms of being fully covered. In other words, what basically our government is saying is, well, we support that people should have jobs, but once again, you know, if you're trans, you're on your own. You know, just like Obama did with, you know, his executive orders and his lack of interest in the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. You know, well, you know, if you're rich and wealthy and donate millions of dollars to the Democratic Party at election time, well, then we're going to focus on your issue. If not, well, too bad. You don't even get a discussion during the Affordable Care Act because, you know, it's more important to protect everyone else, but, you know, we can't be bothered fighting for you because you're just not as important as everyone else. That's the message that I'm getting, okay? And again, I am want to say this yet again. I am not saying don't sign up. I am saying do sign up. Take full advantage. Get what you can get because something is better than nothing. But it is not everything. It is something. It is more than most of us have today. But is this full coverage? Not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. And here we go with Barack Obama and the White House making excuses or just ignoring. You know, I mean, this is a pattern. I mean, when it happens once, you can say it's an aberration. When it happens over and 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 over, you start to say, you know what, there's a pattern here. I'm sorry, but there just is. Okay? I mean, seriously. Seriously. Okay? We get back. Let's go back to 2007. Democrats. Who was it that kicked transgender people out of the Employment and Non-Discrimination Act? Even though it was well known at the time it was never going to pass into law because Bush was going to veto it? That would be Democrats. Yes. Okay? I mean, who was the ones who promised up and down, get us 15 more members of the House and we will get the ENDA passed into law, a fully inclusive ENDA, and then we didn't even see so much as a vote in the 111th Congress? Well, certainly you can't blame Republicans for that one because they didn't have control of the House or the Senate or the White House. No, Democrats, once again. Now, here we are. It's the Affordable Care Act. Everyone else gets full coverage. Trans people, once again, left out. And tell me, who passed this bill? Who was leading the charge on this? Can't blame Republicans for this one either. Democrats, once again, pandering to the rich at the expense of the poor. And I mean, how is this not hypocrisy?
Now, wait a minute. I got to tell you, this is actually RomneyCare, and this is a plan that came from the Heritage Foundation. It's a Republican plan, folks. That's not kidding you. Right. It's Republican ideas here.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, you would think
they don't want to. I mean, it's insane what they're doing. They're filibustering their own plan. It's crazy.
Well, no, it's not. Why? Because why shouldn't they? After all, Obama likes it, therefore there must be something wrong with it.
Well, the Republican Party has changed, too. I must say that since RomneyCare was put in and the Heritage Foundation came up with the idea to begin with, the Republican Party has been taken over by crazy teabag people. So
well,
it's
yeah.
not the same party.
But, you know, there are still some Republicans out there who get it. I mean, there are.
Who would that be?
Well, how about Mark Kirk? How about Senator Mark Kirk from Illinois? Republican, who is a supporter and, in fact, a sponsor, a co-sponsor of ENDA. Yes, you
really?
Heard me.
All right.
I mean, there are Republicans out there who get this because they understand, because they talk to the business people who are telling them that ENDA, having these laws, is good for business. Okay, because you know what? There are a lot of people, and I've heard stories like this over and over and over. It's particularly prevalent in college, among college professors and universities that want to have like visiting professors teach a certain class or have draw certain people to teach at their universities or colleges, and people who will say, "Well, I would love to teach a class at your Alabama University, but I'm not moving my family there because you don't respect my civil rights." You know, or things like that. Okay, so it is hurting people. How many business executives, how many people who could do good work for, who knows, any number of businesses, who have chosen not to take certain jobs, who have cost both themselves and the companies who wanted to hire them in real and lasting ways, because they're not going to put their families through that. So, you know what? Fuck it. I'll stay in California. I'll stay in New Jersey. I'll stay in D.C. Because why am I going to move my family into an area where the government hates me and looks for ways to make my life harder? Why? I'm trying to think of a way to put this. What intelligent person, what truly committed head of a household, a family, is going to take their family and move them into an area where they know they're going to be mistreated? I mean, people are just not going to do that. So it hurts business. And so those people are going to say, you know what? I've got three jobs. I'm making this up, of course. But I've got three job offers. One is in California. One is in Alabama. One is in Virginia. Which one are you going to take? Well, you know what? Alabama and Virginia are going to lose out. Because if that person happens to be gay or they happen to be trans, they're going to take their business and their family to a state that respects their lives. And so not being able to do that hurts business. Because here's the thing, and I've seen this, I've lived it. Just because your company has a law, has a rule, has a regulation that says we don't discriminate, essentially, that means nothing. Because it is, what it is it's a pledge from the company that says we will take it upon ourselves to treat you properly if you work for us. Well, that's nice. But what do you do if you're working for a company and the corporate policy protects you, but your boss is a bigot? Who's going to end up winning that one? I think we both know the answer, right? We all know the answer to that. And that's the reality. It's just because it appears there's a policy that appears on some company's website, it does not mean that that policy is implemented at ground level. And so people are going to say, and rightly so, frankly, because like I said, I've experienced this myself. I think people are going to be, you know what? I'm not sure. And if I'm not sure, I'm not risking my family's safety and happiness on, well, I'm not sure. I think a lot of people are going to do that. And a lot of people will miss out on jobs, and a lot of companies will miss out on good talent because of that. And so who does that help? It doesn't help the business. It doesn't help the employee. It doesn't help our country. It doesn't help our employment rate. It doesn't help our economy. Who does it help? Big business has been telling our government for years now, this is good for business. Treating people fairly and equally is good for business. But that's the reality. The reality is here we go. We're on now on 17 years of waiting for the United States Senate to get off its ass and do something. I mean, you're complaining about the House? Well, maybe they repeal Obamacare 42 times, okay? But at least they're doing something. I mean, you know, what's the Senate doing? They're sitting on their hands. Okay, I mean, seriously, okay, we had that the vote in the HELP committee, the Harkins committee, in back in July. Have you heard anything from Harry Reid about a vote? He said this fall. Well, guess what? Here we are. It's fall. Have you heard anything? I sure as hell haven't. Once again, we get to see what promises from Democrats are worth. Okay? Seriously. Once again, we get to see what Democrats, what a promise from a Democrat is worth. Okay, now, I've yet to hear anything, and don't forget, the last time that we got a promise on this from Harry Reid, when he said, soon, well, that's going on 5 years now that we've been waiting for that one. I mean, and then they wonder why we don't trust them anymore. I mean, how many times do you have to be fucked over by these people before you say, you know what? Now I'm not going to take what you say at face value. Because the last time I did, you made me look like an asshole. The last time I trusted you, you basically threw us under the bus. Why should I trust you now? Seriously. Why should we trust you now? And that's what, you know, I mean, and it's interesting. It goes back to that clip we just heard of Obama. Okay, Obama blaming the Republicans for obstructionism, and that's completely fair. But yet here we go. We have a president who goes out and tours around the country complaining about Republican obstructionism, but yet his press secretary, Jay Carney, when asked about the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, is still clinging to this ridiculous notion that somehow the United States Congress, that the House, is going to magically do a 180 on ENDA and pass it into law. So you got the president going out and saying one thing in regards to the Affordable Care Act, and you got his press secretary arguing exactly the opposite in regards to ENDA. Exactly the opposite. I mean, who's lying and who's telling the truth here? Is it Obama who's telling the truth? And Jay Carney who's full of shit? Or is it Jay Carney who's telling the truth and Obama's full of shit? Which one is it? Because I can't figure out which side of their mouth the White House is talking on at any given moment. They are so fucked up. Their messaging is so incredibly awful and frankly, not, I mean, I could charitably say not thought out. Okay? Probably less charitably, I could call it utter bullshit. I mean, really. I mean, you've got the president arguing one side that the Republicans are obstructing everything, and then you got Jay Carney. I mean, does this guy really believe this crap that he's spewing? I mean, that's what I want to know. Does he really believe this stuff, or is it just what somebody in some office so told him to say? I mean, which one is it? Is it the Republicans are obstructing everything, or is it that somebody's going to wave a magic wand and on Capitol Hill, and Republicans are suddenly going to agree to pass ENDA into law? I mean, it just gets more ridiculous as time goes on. It really does. Don't you think, Mr. Mike? Am I crazy?
I do. While this whole thing is just getting crazier by the day in Washington, I can't believe this stuff. If the Republicans ever get control of the Senate and win the presidency, we're so screwed. I just think of that. I guess it's the ultimate nightmare for all
that,
of us.
You know, I'm not as worried about, to be perfectly,
how so?
Perfectly honest.
How could that be?
But I'll tell you why. Okay, I am not worried about the Republican becoming president because the Republican Party has so ostracized itself from where the average American is on pretty much almost every single issue.
Hope so.
And they are getting farther and farther and farther away from the norm. Okay? I think there's a reason why Barack Obama won by the margin he did this year, last year rather, and why he won in 2008 by the margin he did. Two reasons. Number one, because the candidates that the GOP is putting up are garbage. I mean, seriously, Mitt Romney. I mean, it's almost laughable.
Riddle me this:
that this guy was going to appeal to a wide ranging audience.
Wait a minute now. For 2016, it could be Christie, and Christie is eminently electable. Don't you think?
I'm not so sure. I think by 2016, I think his gay marriage stance is going to hurt him. I think his stance on the environment is going to hurt him. I think there are a lot of things that are going to hurt him.
My prediction is Christie and Rubio. for 2016.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure the Latinos will just love that. Uh-huh. But okay, we've got more to say on this, but we are due for a break. So let us go to
it's a medical theme.
Medical theme. Epilepsy is dancing. I've often said that. We will be back in about five. We'll catch you then, gang. Back, it's the Rebecca Giro Show. Thanks for sticking around. And we were talking about 2016, Chris Christie. There was something I wanted to say. First of all, I'll tell you the truth, Mr. Mike. I don't think Chris Christie is as much of a shoo-in as some people think. Mm. Yeah, okay, he's able to win over some of the Democrats in this state because he made nice with Obama.
Sure.
Okay, but you know what? He has killed his reputation with those outside of New Jersey. Because every time he does something positive like that, because let's be honest, he is a governor, he's a Republican governor in a strongly Democratic state with a strong Democratic majority in the legislature. He has to work with Democrats. He has no choice. He has no choice. Okay, it's not the same thing as when, let's say, you have, a state where you've got a Republican governor in a Republican-controlled legislature. Well, then, sooner or later you have to work with the federal government, which right now is controlled by Democrats. But basically, your state laws are all, they're all within your party, and you get to do what you want to do at the state level, even though you can't go against federal law. This is not the same thing, okay? Christie is pretty much alone. He is the one Republican in the state who has any political influence whatsoever, really. I mean, the Republican, yes, there is a Republican representation in the New Jersey state legislature, but they're not strong enough to actually stop anything or do anything. The only thing they're strong enough to do is prevent, at least still currently anyway, they're able to prevent an override of Christie's veto of the same-sex marriage bill. I know that Garden State Equality, other organizations in the state have been making an effort to try and earn those votes, to try and get those votes. And we heard recently that they had some success there. Unfortunately, we haven't heard anything. Honestly, we haven't seen it. You know, I mean, we keep hearing, oh yeah, we're going to override that veto. Well, I'm waiting to see. Of course, it's worth remembering, and I remind people of this all the time, but it's worth remembering that gay marriage in the state of New Jersey could have already become law if not for State Senate President Steve Sweeney, a Democrat, who caved at the last minute a few years ago, back when John Corzine was still our governor and would have signed the same-sex marriage bill into law. But Sweeney caved at the last minute, took some Democrats with him, and so now they want to say, oh, it's Chris Christie, it's all his fault that we don't have gay marriage. Well, yes and no. yes, Christie could have signed the bill into law, and he didn't. But if Democrats had found their spines when they should have, this wouldn't be an issue. It would already be the law. Seriously. Seriously. I mean, so that's the thing, okay? Now, let's not forget that Chris Christie was not invited to CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee. They have their thing in D.C. every year. Was not invited. He is persona non grata in the National Republican Party. Tea Party folks hate him because he made nice with Obama. Evangelicals hate him because he made nice with Obama, and because, God help him, he actually signed the bill that bans ex-gay therapy in the state. Give him credit for that one. He got a lot of pressure on that, mm-hmm. including from his opponent, Barbara Buono, who is awesome, and if you live in New Jersey, you should vote for her. You heard it here first and second and third and fourth and fifth. She's great. I've met her. She's terrific. She used to be my state senator, as a matter of fact. Her campaign office is about 10 minutes from my house. She's wonderful. She's great. She would be a great governor. I strongly recommend you vote for her. But Chris Christie is not going to be able to get, if in the Republican Party, if you can't bring in the evangelicals and the Tea Party and the far right, you ain't going to be nominated. And so that's why I say, Chris Christie, he may want to be president, but he ain't going to be president.
So I picked Christie and Rubio for 2016. What do you think the GOP is going to do?
I think that it will probably be Rubio and somebody else. I'm not sure who. I mean, God help me, I hope they run Ted Cruz. I mean, I would love to see Ted Cruz for president. I would love to see a Cruz-Rubio ticket. Oh, that would be like, you know, get out the popcorn, because, you know, I think it's going to be on that level, because I really think that these folks, they honestly don't believe what they're seeing. I mean, like, don't you remember the Karl Rove scene at the Fox News on the night of the elections, where the results are coming in and they're showing Obama kicking his ass, and Karl Rove is like, I don't believe it, I don't believe it, I want to double check, I don't believe it. You know, that's the thing. These Republicans are so bought into their own rhetoric that they can't see past it to the reality. And that, more than anything else, along with their insistence on total and complete purity, ideological purity, that's why they're never going to win. Okay? They will run somebody who the far right loves, like Ted Cruz, and he will lose massively to whoever it is, whether it's Hillary or whether it's Biden or whoever runs, will become our next president. Because the problem is that the Republicans are so wrapped up in themselves and their own rhetoric and their own ideology that they don't realize that the rest of the country has long since passed them by and continues to pass them by. Now, that shit's still going to fly in Alabama and Idaho, but it ain't going to sell in California and New York. It's just not. Those days are over. And you know what? Here's the other part of this. Now, it looks like Monday, the government may shut down. And we all know whose fault that is. Okay? I'm telling you. Everything that the Republicans have been doing over and over and over, says the same thing. We don't really give a shit about governing. We only care about our own ideology and raising money off of it. Mm-hmm. That's all we care about. And you know what? For a long time, people were buying into that and saying, yeah, yeah, get those Democrats. And, you know, people are starting to realize, I think, especially since the more time goes on and as the older folks die off and the younger folks start filling in those slots and as the electorate becomes younger and younger and newer, they just don't get it. They just don't say, you know, we have to change in order to be a viable party in today's modern political reality. What they say is, well, the reason why we didn't win in 2012 was because we were too centrist. We weren't far enough to the right. In other words, they're buying into their own ideology and saying, well, you know, if we just go even further to the right, well, then everybody will come along with you. I mean, are they reading the same? You see, this is what happens. This is what happens when you get all of your news from Fox News. When you don't bother to read the straight, you know, the actual news. In other words, from news sources without an agenda, without a political agenda. Okay? And in that I include MSNBC because they lean to the left, not as far as Fox leans to the right, but they definitely have an agenda. Let's be honest, okay? Anybody who says they don't is has their ears closed and they're blind, okay? Yes, okay? But the reality is people aren't buying this stuff. Gay marriage, nobody cares. I mean, the people, well, I shouldn't say nobody cares. The only people who really care, for whom it's a big issue, are two groups. One is the people who it impacts. Gay people who want to get married, their families, their friends, people who care about these kind of issues, people who believe in freedom, real progressives, people like that, and the people who are adamantly opposed, the far, far right. And that group is shrinking consistently, all the time. It's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's the thing, is these people just do not get it. And they don't get it because they don't want to get it. And they think the answer is to move further and further to the right. Well, that's great for us as progressives and as liberals, because the further to the right the Republicans move, the farther out of the mainstream they move. Okay? And in order for Chris Christie to even have a shot at a nomination in 2016, he's going to have to basically debase himself. I mean, he's going to have to pull a Mitt Romney, where he's, you know, I can't hire illegals, you know, I mean, 47%. I mean, he's going to have to go pander to that crowd. And you know what? As Romney himself proved so succinctly, that shit doesn't sell in this country anymore. You may get away with it in Texas, maybe, although that's changing. You may get away with it in Alabama and Mississippi, but you ain't getting away with it in Illinois. You might not even get away with it in Virginia. And so, yeah, I think what you're going to see here is I think you're going to see what we're turning into is really two countries. You know? Seriously. We're going into with a handful of states that are far right and want to discriminate freely against LGBT people and African Americans and everyone else who they don't like. And then you got the rest of us who are just moving on and becoming more inclusive and more supportive and are normalizing these people and relationships into modern culture. And the more that happens and the longer it goes on, the further to the right these people are.
I call them the Johnny Rebs. Civil war ahead.
Exactly. And that's why, yeah, you'll be able to keep your majorities in Texas and Alabama. Maybe not Texas again. I mean, that Wendy Davis, I think she is so cool. The one who filibustered. Oh, yeah. Remember that one? She's announced she's running for governor. Rick Perry said he's going to retire. You know, Rick, the syrup loving governor from Texas, who used gays. He tried to, when he was, when his campaign was going down, circling the drain, came up with a, with an anti-gay commercial because he thought that was going to help him. Didn't do too well.
Times are changing.
Yeah. Okay. But that's the thing. I don't forget. Don't forget. The Texas is also former governor Ann Richards, who was a Democrat and was very liberal. Okay, I think very possibly Texas is going to swing back. It's already considered a purple state. I think that's what's going to happen. I think because people are just getting fed up with it. I really do. I think the problem is that the places where a lot of these anti-gay and anti-minority voter suppression laws are coming into play are in states where they're already controlled by Republicans. So that's gonna, what that's going to do is that's going to strengthen the hold of Republicans on states that are already Republican. But it ain't going to do anything for the states that are controlled by Democrats. So what it's going to do is it's going to guarantee that, yeah, you may be able to hold on to these southern states and some of these wackadoodle places like Idaho and Montana and places like that. But you ain't getting New York. And you're not getting Massachusetts, and you're not getting California, and you're not getting New Jersey, and you're not getting Maryland, and you're not getting, you know, states like that. And so we're going to keep getting Democratic presidents. Democratic Party is going to keep controlling the White House on pretty much forever until Republicans start finally catching up to where the rest of us already are. And that's going to be what it is. Okay, now, whether or not that's enough to take over the House, that's a different story. And we may have a problem with that. But the reality is that they're not, I don't think that, I don't think there's a Republican out there right now who has a real credible shot of becoming president in 2016. I just don't see it. At this point. Now, granted, we're talking 3 years is a long time. 3 years is a long time. So, you know, we've got to think about this realistically. Now, there may be somebody who emerges over the next couple of years who may well be, a more viable candidate than we've seen. I don't think Marco Rubio really has a shot. I really don't. I think he killed himself when he tried to go for the immigration bill. I think that finished him with the far right. So
could America vote for a third Bush?
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen either. Right. I don't think Jeb. I mean, I think he might get the nomination if he decides to run.
Yeah.
But I also don't think he'll have anywhere near the kind of support he'll need to win. And that's what it's going to be, I think. And so the problem is that you want the House back, you want to get stuff done, you got to win those state battles. You got to put more Democrats in the House. Well, why would you go and make effort to put Democrats in the House when they don't do a goddamn thing? I mean, really. Even when they were in office, they didn't do a goddamn thing. You know, and then they wonder why, you know, I say, well, you know, here it is. Okay, I've been out as a trans woman for 16 years. I didn't have civil rights at the federal level when I came out, and I still don't have them. What has the Democratic Party done for me? Okay, well, my state Democratic Party protected my rights here in New Jersey. What has the federal government done? We're still waiting. The year that I came out as a trans woman is the last time that the Senate voted on ENDA in the House. 17 years ago. Okay? So I was still in the process of coming out. I hadn't even actually officially come out at that point. Okay? And we've made zero progress. Okay? And then we get... I don't know how many of you saw this in the Huffington Post recently. Ray Carey, executive director of the task force, coming out with an article on the Huffington Post where she argues, well, that the vote in Harkin's Help Committee was a victory. Did you read this? I mean, a victory for who? A victory for what? A victory that they're paying attention? I mean, is this really the kind of milquetoast crap that we're reduced to now? That you're considering the fact that, that six or seven senators took a vote in a committee? That's a victory by you, Ray Carey? Are you serious? Get somebody fire this woman and put a real activist in there, for God's sakes. I mean, give me a fucking break. It is time to get some real leadership out there. We need real activists. You know, not these guys making six-figure salaries in the elite crowd D.C. who think they know better than people who are struggling every day. I mean, trying to spin this bullshit, this inattention, this failure on the part of the Democratic Party, and then trying to spin that as a victory? I mean, just who are you representing here? Are you representing the trans community? Or are you representing the gay community? Are you representing the trans community? Or are you representing your friends in Congress? You know what? We've had enough of that crap. If you're not going to stand up for trans people, if you're not going to stand up for gay people, if you're not going to stand up for LGBT people, get the fuck out. Make room for somebody who will. Stop making excuses for your cowardly friends in the Democratic Congressional Caucus and start acting like a real activist or get out of the way. I'm sorry. I'm tired of this crap. I am sick and tired of having to beg our own activist organizations to get off their ass and do something. I don't think we should have to. I'm sorry, I don't. I really don't. And then when you see something like this with Ray Carey coming out and saying, well, this is a victory. No, it's not. A victory is when people who are not protected under the law become protected. That's what a real victory is, Ray Carey. And you trying to spin this to keep your buddies in Congress happy is not helping. Stand up, speak out, or go home. Seriously. I mean, I'm fed up with this nonsense. I'm tired of these organizations, okay? And you know what? I'm not even going to get into HRC because they have decades worth of history of doing the same crap, okay? But that's neither here nor there, okay? The reality is, I'm sorry. The reality is that we need activists in our activist organizations. We need decisions being made by people who are selected for their skill in activism, not for their content of their wallets, and not for the thickness of their address book in Washington contacts, and not how many people in Congress happen to think they're nice people. I mean, seriously, I'm sorry. I am sorry. But it's time for real activism. It's time for get off your ass and do something. And making excuses like that for a Congress that barely acts, and when they do, does the very, very barest minimum. Well, I'm sorry. But you're not helping. You're just not. Shit or get off the pot. I don't know. I mean, am I being fair here? I mean, you tell me, 928-277-4921. We may not have time for your call because we're about to go to another break, but call during the break or call right now, and we'll put you on when we come back because we're going to break in about 2 minutes. But, I mean, it's frustrating to me as a trans woman. It's frustrating because what we see is we don't see these people trying to push, trying to stretch it out. I mean, and I'll tell you the truth. I have issues with NCTE when they say, "Oh, we're happy with the Affordable Care Act the way it is." Well, I'm not. I think we deserve better. I think we should call on them to raise the bar. I don't think that the argument is, well, let's take what we get and keep our mouth shut because, you know, something is better than nothing. I mean, how long have we been hearing that nonsense? Seriously. I'm sorry, but I don't buy it. I didn't buy it 10 years ago and 5 years ago, and I don't buy it today. I think you ask her what you want for what you need. If you have to compromise down the road, well, then you do what you got to do. But you don't start out saying, yeah, well, we're happy with the way things are. We're not going to, you know, I mean, this is too much making nice with the Obama administration and not saying, being honest and saying, you know what, this isn't good enough. Not good enough. And that's why, I mean, like I say, I am a big NCTE supporter, as you well know. We have Mara on the show all the time. I am a huge NCTE supporter. I've given them money when I've had it, which ain't often. But I'm sorry. I think we have to say that you can't expect to get what you want unless you ask for what you want. And saying, well, we're happy with this bill the way it is now, I'm sorry, that doesn't fly with me. Okay? I mean, that's not what we want. What we want is full health benefits. And when you're a transgender person, full health benefits include surgery and it includes hormones. You know, and to do otherwise is simply enshrining these bigotries in our law, saying, well, it's acceptable to deny transgender people access to hormones. It's acceptable to deny trans people needed surgery. I mean, this is what we're fighting for? This is a goal? I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, it gets to a point where you start to say all the people who attack Mara and others in the community who are saying, well, you know, we don't like her because she's too cozy with the administration. You know, as much as I oppose that kind of thinking, I'm starting to think they maybe have a point. Because that's what I think. I think maybe they are getting a little too cozy with the administration. I think there's they're running interference with us, saying, "Oh, well, we're happy with the way things are." Well, you know what? I'm not. You shouldn't be either. All right, we are late for our break. It is time for what is it time for? It is time for Jane County Paranoia Paradise. We'll see you back in a few.
Apart. If I felt it right up to my heart. we're talking about some real sick stuff here. Man on man, hairy baby, BDSM, bottoms acting like tops, tops acting like bottoms. It's just the whole world gone topsy-turvy.
You won.
Show. Thanks for sticking around. And, well, let's see. What else we got on the ye olde agenda tonight? Oh, my goodness. So much stuff going on. Well, I don't know. Well, I said I was going to talk a little bit more about Cassidy Lynn Campbell. Of course, Cassidy Lynn Campbell, senior at Marina High School, Huntington Beach, California. Orange County, which is a very conservative area, and I think it's awesome that her high school, and I think this goes back to what I was saying earlier about how our country is becoming more liberal over time. This is, bear in mind, this is probably one of the most conservative areas of California, okay? Elected a trans girl. Homecoming queen. That says something. And then, what was even worse, that was awesome, but what was terrible, what was awful, was that she then got bashed online. Awful, horrible, disgusting comments directed towards her. One guy, what was his name? I forget. Brian Idiot from Family Research Council or whatever the hell.
Brian Fisher.
Hate organization said she was mentally unstable. And, you know, it's really disappointing. And this girl, she posted a video. She was in tears. And really it was, I mean, I thought long and hard. When we prepare this show every week, one of the things that Mike and I do is we go around and we try to pull some audio clips so that we have something to play for you guys. And I thought long and hard about whether or not I wanted to play a clip from Cassidy's YouTube, in which she was really upset and she obviously hurt her a lot. But I decided not to because it seemed like. I mean, I realize it's YouTube and all that, but it seemed like I was intruding on her personal pain, and I just didn't feel comfortable on that. But I want to talk about another homecoming situation. There's one, this one in California. Now, in Pennsylvania, there was a person who wanted to run for homecoming king, Casey Caron, from Pennsylvania. And wanted to run and was denied the right to run. Now, you would think Pennsylvania, you know, sort of blue, sort of liberal, but, you know, the truth is it's not really. Philadelphia is generally pretty liberal. Pittsburgh is generally pretty liberal. Other than that, not so much. They've got a Republican governor, Republican legislature. And basically they said, well, that he could run for prom queen. And now let me see. Did we put this on the board, Mike?
Act one.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. I got it. Okay. There it is. Okay. Why don't you run? This is a clip, and then we'll talk about it on the other side.
I am still officially on court, but I'm on court as a female.
At one moment, Casey was on the male ballot, and then the next moment, he's on the female ballot.
The school board presented Casey's mother, Kathy Caron, this letter about the homecoming decision. It read, quote, "With regard to the issue of the placement on the ballot relative to the homecoming court, the board determined that no formal action was required of it due to the board agreeing with the previous decisions of the administration regarding this matter."
It was disappointing, and my heart sunk a little bit.
We pretty much had expected that since that was the answer they already gave Casey.
And because the school has just been so accepting and so helpful all these years, and then all of a sudden this happens, I wasn't expecting it.
It's really a betrayal of our community, I felt like.
I love my son, and my son is the most awesome. I couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah. So, for a little bit more, Casey, of course, is 17, can run for homecoming queen, but not king. And here's the part that gets me. Casey was told at one point by the homecoming committee that he could be that he could be put on the mail ballot. In other words, that they would do that. But the principal and the vice principal said that they could not allow him to run for homecoming queen. King, excuse me, because it would be against the law.
What?
What law?
How did they figure that?
There is no law. This is absolute fiction. In other words, the principal and the vice principal had a political agenda, which they couldn't justify, so they lied. They made shit up. Hell of an example. Hell of an example to set for your students. You know, well, you know, the law doesn't say what you wanted to say. Well, then make it up and just lie instead. You know, hey, after all, you know, our politics are more important, clearly, than, making sure that their students in their charge are made to feel safe and welcoming and honored and respected and stuff like that. I mean, It's just, I would like them to cite, for me, and for everybody, the law that says that they can't, that this person can't run for homecoming king. There is no law. It's a lie. There is no law. It doesn't exist. There's no law at the federal level. There's no law at the state level. I mean, this is... It's just politics. Okay? Well, you know what? At this point, I want to make clear, this is personal opinion. This is supposition. I don't know this stuff for a fact. I don't live near this area. I don't know these people. I can't read their minds. But my guess is that these people, don't forget, we're talking about a principal and a vice principal. Okay? Their jobs... in very real sense, are dependent on keeping the people who are politically in office happy. So if the mayor of their town happens to be an anti-transgender bigot, or if the city council happens to be made up of anti-transgender bigots, or their county, or maybe their state. So they're more concerned about keeping bigoted politicians happy than they are with keeping their students safe and protected and welcomed and respected, because that's what really matters, is making sure that they not protect students, but protect their own personal incomes and political safety as principal and vice principal. That's what it is. You know, and more than likely, they probably said, well, you know, we'll get some backlash about this, and, you know, who needs that? You know, after all, the principal might decide he wants to run for mayor or city council or something someday, so he wants to keep his options open. I don't know that. I'm just theorizing here. But, I mean, it's disgraceful, because there's no good reason why Casey should not be allowed to run for homecoming king. Don't forget that all this guy is asking for is the right to run. It's not like they can say, well, you know, if this person is put on the ballot, they will automatically become homecoming king. There's no guarantee of that. All Casey is looking for is the right to run. There is no law. There is no law. And it's my question is, What is, I want them to cite the law that says that they're not allowed to do this. Or, barring that, explain to their students why this is necessary. Why it is necessary in the absence of any real law, in the absence of it hurting anyone. I mean, who does this hurt? Who is it hurting? Who's it hurting? Who is being harmed by this kid wanting to run for homecoming king? Who is being inconvenienced? What, some bigoted politician? I mean, seriously, who is being hurt here? I have yet to be able to figure that out. And so, when you do this, all you're doing is you're hurting this kid. You're hurting this kid's friends, this kid's family. You're basically saying, we don't care about you. What we care about is some antiquated regulation, if it even exists. I mean, if they could turn around, if they could say, which is, you know, it's the same thing like with this bathroom nonsense, okay? If they could point to something and say, well, we have evidence that in that there be some demonstrable harm for Casey to run for homecoming king, or there would be some demonstrable harm if it was legal for a transsexual woman to use the ladies' room. If you could say, well, here's the proof, well, I might still not agree. I might still think it was bigoted. I might still think that this is wrong. But at least you've got an argument to make there. Where's the argument here? I mean, what purpose is school, especially high school, if not to prepare teenagers to think analytically, to question not only their suppositions that they've gone into life with, but to question authority, to look for answers, to go beyond, to analyze, to understand who you are and what these things mean to you and the kind of life you want to live and the kind of person you want to be and the kind of way that you want to go through life and to assert your individuality. And then you do something like this? What lesson are you sending to your kids, to your students? What are these administrators at Richland High School in Western Pennsylvania? What message are these kids getting from their school board and their vice principal and their principal? I mean, all they did was hurt this innocent kid who his only crime was wanting to be who he is. How terrible. How awful. Gosh, must be stopped, right? I mean, now, what they claim is, here's what they claim, school board official claims that in order for Casey to be considered male, a doctor must certify a sex change procedure. This is bullshit. And his birth certificate must be changed. Also a lie. Okay? His driver's license was recently switched, but apparently that wasn't good enough for them. Okay? So it's to say that it's against the law is a lie. It's an excuse. There is, if the state motor vehicle authority considers Casey a male, why, you know, that's a state agency. So are you saying that this state agency is in error, shouldn't have issued the driver's license? I have a driver's license that says I'm female. I have not had surgery. Nobody's, okay, now granted, I'm not a high school student. I never tried to run for homecoming queen. Nor would I, because I frankly didn't didn't look that good even when I was a teenager. But, you know, I mean, there's no viable argument, okay? They're making this stuff up. They're throwing roadblocks up where there are none. There are none. Now, what's even more interesting is that Casey apparently was diagnosed at a young age with a condition that caused him to produce abnormal levels of male hormones. But yet, of course, the government, these teachers, these so-called examples that these teenagers are supposed to gain their values from, apparently that's not good enough for them. They were looking for a reason. They were looking for an excuse, and they found one. They had to make it up, but they found one. Because this law does not exist. Anything like this is made up. There is no law, because this is a new thing. Now, there may be a law in 6 months, there may be a law in a year, especially with the right-wing assholes that are currently filling the Pennsylvania state legislature. It wouldn't surprise me if they went out of their way to pass a law.
Pentucky, that's what we call it.
Yeah, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they did that now as a result of this. But right now, there is no law, okay? Saying that somebody has to go through a sex change procedure, that's a lie. Birth certificate, that's a lie too. There is no such law. No such law. Okay? So basically what they did was they just said, well, we don't like it, so we're going to deny it because, you know, that's what's politically convenient for us. You know? And somebody wants to prove me wrong, they're welcome to do so. You know, once again, I'll give out the number. We still got a few minutes left. The hell's our number?
I'll say it for you.
Oh, say it for me.
Area code 928-277-4921, or you can Skype us at Q1 Studio.
There you go. There you go. So if you want, you got something to say, we still got a few more minutes, so call in now. But, wow, I mean, I guess it's not that much of a surprise when you consider that this is going on in Pennsylvania, when right across the Delaware River, we've got trans women being murdered, and we can't even count on our own mainstream media in the state to take 5 minutes to make sure they've got the story right. See, that to me, it's disappointing to me. Okay, I mean, calling me a journalist is, I guess, in some ways kind of, I guess I am in the loosest possible sense. I mean, more really, I'm a pundit. I can do some journalism. I've done journalism. I've written columns. I've done straight journalism. I wouldn't claim to be a professional level. I mean, I would like to think I could be if someone would give me a chance, but that's neither here nor there. But at the same time, you know, you kind of, I kind of tend to, in the past, have romanticized journalism a little bit because it's these kind of folks who you look to, you know, set an example. But, you know, when you see this kind of thing, I tell you, it really disabuses you. It shatters those illusions. Because, I mean, this is not a hard story to report on, the trans woman, Erica Morgan. Okay? This was not a hard story to report. The information was all out there. All you had to do was take 5 minutes on the Google machine, and this reporter for the Star Ledger would have known as much as I did. I mean, You know, I don't work for a mainstream news organization. I don't have access to the kind of resources that a newspaper like the Star Ledger has. So if I could find out this information in less than 5 minutes with Google, are you telling me that she couldn't? Sorry, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I think it was lazy. I think she just wrote whatever was on the press release and just went with that. She didn't bother to dig to say, who was this person? She wrote three paragraphs and that's it. Yeah, who cares? It's just another African American getting killed in the city, right? Just another inner city murder. So who gives a shit, right? And this is the problem. And another part of the problem, and I say this because I think it's relevant, and I think it's particularly relevant here in New Jersey. There's a few of us out here who are active. You know, Babs Kasbar, for example, Terry McCorkle, and there's several others who are trans who are out there. But there's no real, I mean, we had an organization called Gender Rights Advocacy Association of New Jersey called Grange. Gender Rights Advocacy Association of New Jersey. And we were very active when we were looking to try and get the transgender rights bill passed here. Once that happened, once we were successful, it kind of, I mean, technically, I guess it exists, but it really haven't done anything, you know, lately. So I hope that the New Jersey trans community responds to this. And that we let people know. And you know what? Not for nothing. Where the fuck is GLAAD on this? I mean, seriously. Where's GLAAD? Where's the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association on this? Where are all those organizations that, you know, scream bloody murder every time somebody says something nasty about a gay person? Where are those people now? Where are they? I haven't heard anything from GLAAD. I haven't heard anything from NLGJA. I haven't heard anything from Garden State Equality. I guess they're too busy fighting for marriage. I mean, oh my goodness. Oh, my phone is ringing, but that's okay. If it was for me, they would know better because they know I'm not available on Thursdays until after 9. So they can call back. Excuse me while I choke to death.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, sorry. but anyway, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think GLAAD has been kicking ass in the last few months. They've been doing some lot of good stuff. I mean, really going out of their way to promote the trans stuff. And I give them credit. But where the hell are they on this? This is right up their alley. Where is Garden State Equality? Where is NLGJA? This should be right up their alley, too. You know, now, granted, I realize this broke basically 24 hours ago. So, you know, sometimes it takes a little time. You know, you can't expect instantaneous responses. But come on, where are these folks? I mean, every time when it's a gay person, when it's, you know, Barilla Pasta, when the CEO of Barilla Pasta says something nasty about gays, it's all over the internet in boycott. 10 seconds.
Oh, it's a boycott. Oh.
It's a boycott. Yeah, 10 seconds after it happens. Where are these people on this? Where is the outrage? And I don't say that just on their part. Where is the outrage on our part? Where is the outrage on the part of the Human Rights Campaign? Where is the outrage on the parts of the task force? Where is the outrage from NCTE? Where is the outrage from Garden State Equality? Where is the outrage from all of these organizations that ask us for money and say, we're fighting for you? Well, you know what? Here's your chance to fight for us. Where the fuck are you? Okay, if you can be ready to fight Barilla Pasta in 10 minutes after they say something, you know what? I'm sorry, but you should be ready and able and just as fast on this. I mean, I'm sorry. I think that I want to see. I want to see what happens tomorrow, because I grant you, like I said, 24 hours is not a lot of time, especially when you're an advocacy organization. Stuff has to go through, channels, and these things take time to set up and all that kind of thing. Okay. So I'm willing to be a little bit, patient, but not very. Not very. Honestly. Because I think we've seen this, when it's a gay issue, they're all over it, and they're all over it quickly. When it's a trans issue, well, then, yeah, they'll get to it eventually. I'm sorry. I think this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is deliberate let me correct myself here. This is misgendering. And what's more, it's misgendering that was due to sloppy journalism. Seriously. It's just sloppy journalism. And I think we have the right. I mean, don't forget, it's not just that they didn't report that this person was a trans person. They didn't even report her name. They didn't even, the first article, the one in the Star Ledger, didn't even report her male name. That's what you call good journalism? I mean, again, it goes back to the 5 W's. Who, what, where, when, why? You didn't get who. You got what. You got where. And you got when. But you didn't get why, because you didn't get who. So you couldn't know why, because you didn't get who. And, I mean, without sounding like an Abbott and Costello routine, I think we deserve better. And I think if you're getting paid money to write journalism and to write stories, then the public who reads your stuff have a right to expect a certain level of quality. I'm sorry. All right. Now, before I burst my usual blood vessel, it is time to wrap this sucker up. I want to remind everybody that if you missed anything, we will be repeating the show in about 3 minutes after a lovely interlude from Mr. Mike. I want to say thank you to everybody for tuning in. I want to say thank you for supporting this media. I want to say thank you, as always, to Mr. Mike and his amazing production skills that gave us that great Obama clip and make us sound like we're actually know what we're talking about. Every week. And we will catch you next week. Keep an eye on Facebook and Google+, and I'll let you know what's going on. And we'll have a good night. Good night, everybody.
Show the people!
Just the whole world gone topsy-turvy.
You won.